Yeah, I married an older woman. She robbed the cradle, if I remember right. Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you for so great a salvation. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you've given to us day by day. And Lord, throughout our life, you've watched over us. Even when we were lost, your hand was upon us. And Father, since we've been saved, you've just cared for us over and over again and brought us to places of blessing. I want to thank you today. I want to ask you for the freedom and ease to preach that only you can give, and that your Holy Spirit would touch every heart and life in the sound of my voice. And Lord, we just give you the honor and the praise and the thanksgiving. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 12, the first two verses say, giving thanks. I can't get away from giving thanks. I don't know about you. I've had a lot of troubles in my life. I've had a lot of problems. I've had some things that aren't fixable. They're just not going to get fixed. They're never going to get fixed until I get to heaven. But you know, I've had so many blessings. I've seen God watch over me and my family and my church and you. I can't help but be of the same attitude as Paul, giving thanks. I really think that a bunch of crybaby, complaining Christians is a shame to the Lord. I love to tell the story because it's on my sister. She was a little girl, and of course I'd come along, and I was the baby, and so I was getting all the attention. And so she went out in the front yard, and my grandmother watched her. And she took a big rock and put it on her toe and started crying. She wanted some attention. And so she was feeling like she wasn't being treated right. So she put that rock on her toe and started crying so they'd give her some attention. The only problem was they saw her put it on there. Now, a lot of us Christians, we're just about the same way. I tell you every once in a while as a joke, I don't say, how are you anymore? Because some of you love to tell me. And man, I got this long list of things and problems that you've got, you know. I got that same list. I don't need your list along with my list. I really think that we miss the point. I really think we miss the blessing when we're not thanksgiving.
That's
right. So I'd like to take these verses that I've read to you and think a little bit about giving thanks unto the Father. Giving thanks unto the Father. You know, I had an awful good man as my physical father. I look back as a blessing that good night I was born to these two people. I mean, my daddy loved my mother. He thought she was the greatest thing God ever created. He didn't want to run around and play all sorts of games and stuff. Home was where he wanted to be. She loved him. I'd ask her a question. You know, ask your dad. He's the smart one. You know? I was born into a terrific... They're just plain country people. Neither one of them finished high school. Neither one of them ever went to college. Neither one of them ever had very much money. In fact, they had a few things, and the Depression broke that out of them. They had two kids in the Depression. That helped them out a whole lot. But you know what it did? It made good people out of them. It made good people out of them. People that weren't caught up by the fluff of the world. Now, I actually thought that other people had the same kind of family I had. It was a real shock to me to grow up and to find out that not everybody was as lucky as I was. But I was lucky. Giving thanks unto the Father. I got to start Thanksgiving right there. Man, I was born into a house. My daddy loved me. My mother loved me. My daddy loved my mother. My mother loved my daddy. You know what a blessing that is? Just take a look at the newspaper. Look at television for a while. Read a book. Listen to the news. What are you going to hear? You're going to hear people in all sorts of trouble. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing love is. You got somebody who loves you? You got a dog? Maybe nobody else loves you, but your dog probably loves you. That's a blessing. Let me tell you, God loves you.
Amen.
Giving thanks unto the Father. And the major part of this message is to born-again believers that are here. There ought to be something about you standing out. You ought to be a thanksgiving person.
Amen.
It ought to be coming out of your mouth every day of your life. It ought to be coming out of your attitude when you talk to people and you meet people and say, man, that guy's got a good attitude. Why? Because he's got such a good father. By the way, it's not Mother Nature, it's Father God.
Amen.
Giving thanks unto the Father. I want you to notice the first thing that he says right here, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light.
Amen.
Now that word meet's just an old English word that means fit. Mm-hmm. It means you're suitable. Now think about that. What has the Father done for you as a child of God? He's made you suitable to be a partaker, not a spectator. A partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, I didn't get a great big inheritance. My folks weren't rich. Bernine didn't get a big one. Her folks weren't rich. But I want you to know God's rich. God is rich. You can't imagine how rich God is. As rich as Americans are, as rich as we are. I know we think we're so poor, but if you're on welfare here in San Antonio, you're richer than the majority of the people of the world. And richer than many people that have ever lived. What would Solomon have given to have my air-conditioned car with 225 horses pulling it? I mean, Solomon, all of his glory, didn't have a chariot like mine. And I'm just a poor boy. What he wouldn't have given for an air-conditioned house. I know a beautiful girl waving a fan is a nice addition. But I believe he might even traded that for air conditioning. You know what he said? He didn't say a spectator of the inheritance. You know what? I rejoice to see some other people get some nice things. I have. I've seen some people really get, man, just a beautiful thing. And you'd say, wow, how lucky can you be? I mean, how blessed can you be? How wonderful is it that this has happened your way and it just dropped out of heaven right in your lap. What a blessing that is. But he didn't say a spectator. He said a partaker. Partaker. I'm a partaker of an inheritance. Praise the Lord. Now the Bible says that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children. And Paul, speaking in another place, he says it's not for the children to lay up for the parents, but for the parents to lay up for the children. And so that's just the way things go. Now, kids trump parents every day. There's no way. I mean, you that are in the middle. Berlin and I aren't there. We're the oldest, you know, around. All our family's gone except us nearly. And we don't have to look up that way to take care of them. That's been done. We finished that. But you that are in the middle, you still got your parents that you got to take care of, and you still got your children you got to take care of. Kids trump parents all the time. You may think, well, I'm going to do this for my parents, but your kids come up with trouble. It's amazing what you do for your kids. He said, I'm going to be a partaker of the inheritance. Now, what kind of inheritance are we talking about here? Of the saints in light. Where did you ever have any hope to be a partaker with the saints in light? I mean, this is not an inheritance of Bill Gates. It's not an inheritance of somebody else, Brian Buffett or somebody like that. This is the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, I know some of you come from a Catholic background, and you have the idea of saints as being somebody that lived just so special, and it is just a few of them. But you know what? If you're saved, you're a saint.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I'm a saint.
That's right.
Saint Lindell. That is not sacrilegious, I hope to tell you. That's the truth. God Almighty saved your soul, and if He saved your soul and sanctified you, He made you a saint.
Amen.
But not just saints down here. I know a lot of saints down here that don't have very much. I don't, you know, my kids wonder what they're going to get for an inheritance. Not much. Being of sound mind and body, I plan on spending it all. All that I can. I gave them everything I'm going to give them. Except if I die, if there's anything left, they can divide it.
And any bills.
And the bills, too. Well, praise the Lord, I don't have many of them anymore. A partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. Wait a minute. I get a part of this. I'm going to inherit with them? Ooh, man, I could almost get selfish right here. I can almost say, wow, riches. I can think riches. I can think splendor. I can think comfort. I can think a whole lot of things. When you talk about somebody that gets a big inheritance, what do you think about? Well, you think about how lucky they are. What a blessing it is. But this is of the saints. What do you think God's going to do for the saints? God says they're His portion. God said His people are His portion.
Yeah. Amen.
Wow. I don't know how you think about it. And if you're not a mother or a father, you certainly can't think the way I'm going to speak. But if you are, I believe you'll halfway understand me. One of the most dangerous things in the world is a mama grizzly bear that thinks you're going to damage her cub. You ever thought about that? Some people get in real trouble. They see this beautiful little animal, and they decide to go befriend this beautiful little animal. Well, that mama grizzly bear does not know you're befriending her. And she'll come out of that forest and tear everything up in sight because you're messing with her kid. Don't mess with one of her kids. Do you know what it says here? I'm an inheritor, a partaker with the saints in light, the sons of God. God is my Father. God is my protector. You better not mess with me. I got a great big Father. My Father doesn't let you mess with me and get away with it. Have you ever thought about something like that? The power of love you have for your children. It's an amazing thing. I've seen parents be absolutely unfair because their child was in a certain thing. I've seen them in little baseball games, you know. The kid was out by a mile. But the poor referee that said, out! And here are the parents up there screaming, he was safe by a mile. I mean, are they going to hang the referee? And this is at a stickball game. Isn't it amazing what parents will do for their children? Well, have you ever thought about what you have become when you got saved? You just thought, oh yeah, you know, I just got saved. Oh, you know what happened, boy? You got put into the family of God.
Amen.
You became a saint of the Lord God Almighty. You became one of His special ones that's going to inherit heaven. When I think about heaven, I think about streets of gold. I think a place where there's no night, There's no sin. There's no sorrow. There's no pain. I think about a place where I see Jesus every day.
Amen.
For about the first 15 or 20 years of my ministry, I was very much an evangelist. In fact, several years I was a full-time evangelist, traveling all across the country and preaching in many, many different churches all the time. Sometimes gone 3 weeks at a time, sometimes up to 8 weeks at a time. I can remember getting on a plane, looking back at my wife and my kids out the window. In those days, they could go out and wave at you, you know. And being so homesick, and I hadn't left home yet. So homesick, because I was going to be gone from them. I got real tired of that. I'm pretty much a homeboy too. I like my home. I like my bed. I like my chair. I like my air conditioning. I like my cup, you know. God Almighty loves His children. One of the greatest blessings I have is to be around Verlene. Now, we're going on 53 years of marriage, and we dated a couple of years. I've been in love with that girl since she was 16. Now, she wasn't in love with me at 16. I was just in love with her. But by the grace of God, she finally accepted me. But I tell you what, she became my best friend. I have more fun with Verlene than I have with you. Now, that's nothing to say anything bad about you. It's just, I love her. And you know something? I love Jesus.
Amen.
And one of the greatest things I'm going to have is I'm going to be with Jesus.
Amen.
And it's never going to be night.
That's right.
We're never going to have to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought how much time we waste sleeping?
Yeah.
Think of all we could get done if we didn't have to sleep.
Amen.
I don't know why we need sleep. Do you know why we need sleep? Anybody ever figured that out? There's some animals that don't sleep hard at all. There's some that just go and hibernate for 4 months out of the year, you know. I don't know how they work it all out, but I seem to want to get up and eat. Do you know what God did for me? He made me an inheritor.
Amen.
A partaker of the inheritor of the saints in light. What an inheritance. Whatever God has planned for His saints, I'm a part of it. Now, do you realize you don't deserve that?
That's right.
You ought to be thanking God every day that you're included in this.
Amen.
Because you don't deserve it.
That's right.
If I were to ask you, are you a saint? Most say, no, I'm not a saint. Oh, heavens, no, I'm not a saint. Of course, you really are.
Yeah.
By the sanctification of the Spirit of God. But the truth of the matter is, you don't think of yourself that way. You don't walk that way. You don't live that way. You don't talk that way. But you are.
Amen.
You ought to thank God today. You ought to thank God that He's included you with His saints. Now, not only His saints, but His saints in light. Light means truth. Light means there's nothing hidden. Light means salvation. Light means all sorts of things. I mean, not about darkness. Darkness means sin. And darkness means sorrow. And darkness means trouble. And all sorts of bad things happen in darkness. But we're a member of the inheritance of the saints in light. That just, to me, it just makes me think, I'm thankful.
Thank you.
I'm thankful to be a part of that. And you know, he says another thing there. He says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Some of our finest scientists and photographers and people with real skill and finest equipment in the world have made some very great videos of the earth and the animals and things of that nature. My wife has given a set for her birthday. And I don't know how they get the shots they get, but it's gorgeous. I mean, great photography, great skill, much time and effort. And watching these animals and the things that they do, you know what it does to me? It makes me thank God. I look at that and I say, God. But do you know, these scientists, these are very intelligent people. These are people that work very hard to know everything. And they don't think God. They think evolution. Now you talk about darkness. You talk about darkness. Now, this body may not look much like much to you, but I sort of like it. You know what? This thing has been carrying me for almost 71 years. Wow. This old heart's been pumping, you know, several million times. And it's still going. And the truth of the matter is, if I were not so lazy, and I would go out to the gym and work out every day, I could look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, maybe. My body would do it. That's the way God made it. He made a wonderful thing. What a tremendous thing He did when He gave me this body. And you know what I see? I see this body and I say, miracle after miracle after miracle. And what I say is, God. God. I don't think evolution. Never in my wildest dream, not even when I have nightmares, do I think evolution. No, I think God. When I take a look at some little baby, like they brought a little one in here this morning, and I said, no, don't, I don't touch it. I didn't hold mine when they're that small. You know, when I could trip them and they could fall and roll over, and then I can pick them up, and then that, and I started playing with them. I don't play with those little ones where their head goes any old. No, that scares the living daylights out of me. I don't hold them. Let somebody else take care of them then. You talk about a miracle, what God did when He made this body. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. How God could do something like that. Wonderful.
Yeah. Amen.
I say God. But in their darkness, they don't see God. You know, He said right here, not only did He make us suitable or meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light, but He said, hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Man, you ought to get up tomorrow and thank God. Say, God, thank you.
Amen.
I'm not in darkness.
Amen.
I'm not. Have you ever heard the name Jesus Christ? You're not in darkness.
That's right.
My friend, has anybody ever preached the gospel to you and told you how you could be saved? You're not walking in darkness. Have you believed on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and know that you're born again?
Amen.
You got light.
That's right.
Light. Some of you have been in terrible darkness. I was in darkness. In spite of all the light around me, I was in darkness. I was in the darkness of the lust of the flesh. I was in the darkness of the lust for money, things. I was in darkness in the pride of life. You know, some of you have been in darkness to drugs. And some of you sweet little old girls, some old hairy leg boy is going to come up and say, oh, let's go to a club. I mean, we want to have a real party. You can't have a party without liquor. That's the spirit. We got to go drink our spirits. And you being the dumb little beast that you are, you just go right along just as stupid as dirt. And not know that what they're putting in your body is going to take away your will to resist.
Amen.
Not knowing that they could give you one time. I have a friend. He got hooked on drugs. He tells me he had a bad headache, and a friend said, take this. It'll make you feel all right. All the trouble that's been caused over something like that. Let me tell you something, friend. There's some things you get put into, you're going to have an awful hard time getting out. Some of you in the darkness of pornography, you got to just say no. Some of you in the darkness of drink. I don't know how many people have told me, I can quit any time. Well, quit. Don't give me this, I can quit any time. Go ahead and quit. What good has drink ever done to you? What good has the first highball ever done for you? You ever been drunk? Even one time in your life? You ever been drunk? You want to take a chance on ever letting that happen again? My friend, don't walk along in the stupid darkness. And you may think that old man doesn't know what he's talking about, but I do. I do watch the news. I do sometimes read a newspaper. I sometimes hear a broadcast. I do know some people. You know, I know people that have shot their own father because they were drunk. I've known them kill their own brother because they were drunk. I've known them to kill their son or kill their wife because they were drunk. I've known them to get out on the streets here in San Antonio just because they partied and killed a whole family. That's darkness. That's darkness. You say, well, I like my little drink. Well, you're stupid. That's my opinion. Okay? If you don't like it, come talk to me. We'll just argue about it a little bit. I don't think you're going to change my mind. I wouldn't have it in my house. I'm a teetotaler. Coca-Cola is the strongest thing I drink. Don't mess with any kind of drug. You know what I think? I do believe that alcohol is a worse drug than heroin. I believe more damage is done to homes and families, to wives and mothers and children and young ladies and young men by alcohol than any other drug we have in our society. And it's acceptable. You can call yourself acceptable and you drink it. That's darkness. Why don't you let God put a little light in your head and you'll give up some of these things? I'm thankful God delivered me from the power of darkness. Some of you in the power of darkness today, right here, you need to be delivered. You need to repent of your sins, call on God, and ask Him to deliver you from what you're in. Then you need to get a little bit of stick'em. A little bit of backbone and say no. No to your friends. No to your family. No to your boyfriend or your girlfriend. No to your brother and sister. No to the people at your club. No to the people at your work. You don't have to say yes. You'd just be amazed at how much they will respect you after a few years of you saying no. Not the first time you say no. Oh, they'll give you all sorts of hard time. They're going to try to get you back with them. Once they find they can't get you, they'll learn to respect you. When I first got saved, quit drinking and smoking and cussing and gambling and whatever, started preaching gospel to the fellows that I was walking around with, they made so much fun of me. They criticized me every way they possibly could. But I'm sort of hard-headed. It didn't matter. In fact, the more they tried to get me to give in, that was better for me because I wasn't about to. Amen. You know what they'd do 2 or 3 months after that? When they're in trouble, they would come to me. Yeah. Pray for me. How did you get out of this? How can I help? How can I get some help out of this mess? There are people walking in darkness today. Some of you in this room are walking in darkness today. You need to come into the light.
Amen.
I want to thank God today. I am thankful He delivered me from the power of darkness. I'm thankful I'm not going to go to bed tonight drunk and not know where I was tomorrow. I'm thankful I'm not going to go to bed tonight and not remember what I did or who I did it with. And you think you can take your little highball and you can have your little drink and you have your little bottle of beer and it's not going to hurt anybody? You're stupid. That's my opinion. You want a second opinion? You're dumb too. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son.
Amen.
You've heard, beam me up, Scotty, haven't you? Beam me up, Scotty. Psst, you know. Science fiction. Ah, this is the reality. I've been translated. I've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Let me tell you where I live. I don't live in darkness. And I don't live under the cloud of the sin of this old world. I don't live in death. I have life in Christ Jesus. I am in His kingdom. He is my King. I owe Him allegiance.
Amen.
He is my protector.
Amen.
And He's the portion of my cup.
Amen.
Translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. In Jesus' kingdom, think about this for a minute. In Jesus' kingdom, there's salvation. He forgives you of all your sins. He saves your soul. He enters you and walks as your constant companion every moment of your life. You know, I would be a little embarrassed to take Jesus down to the local pub. I'd afraid I'd embarrass Him. I'd be a little embarrassed to take Jesus to the local pornographic shop, the little XXXXXX bookstores and movies. I'd be a little embarrassed to take Jesus with me a whole lot of places. That's one reason why I quit going. I didn't want to embarrass Jesus. It's not I hated sin that much. I'm sorry. I'm just like you. I'm weak when it comes to sin. I'm weak when it comes to many things of this world. But I have a Lord and Savior, the lover of my soul, who died for me, who paid my debt, who changed me, who brought me into His kingdom, and I don't want to embarrass Him. Now, sometimes I wear certain shirts because my wife tells me that's the shirt to wear. I'll put on a shirt, and my wife will say, Are you really going to go that way? I mean, what an insult. I'm telling you publicly. She always does it privately. She doesn't embarrass me publicly very often. But you know something? We can sure embarrass the Lord. You reckon the Lord was embarrassed this week? Did you embarrass the Lord this week? I mean, He loves you. I did not want to embarrass my mother or my father. Like I said, they're just poor country people. You can tell the way I talk. I got a master's degree in English, taught English 20 years. But you can't take the country out of me. Somebody said, you're going to look like a hick. I said, I am a hick. I am a hick. I know I'm a hick. I've heard myself on tape. I know what I sound like. I know what I look like. I'm still happy with myself. It's the people in front of me I jar. Translated this into the kingdom of His dear Son. I got picked up out of the muck and mire and cesspool of sin. And I got washed off and put into the kingdom where Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
That's where I live.
Amen.
I may live in the outskirts of Burney, Texas, but I live in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Why don't you think about where you live before you decide where you're going to go?
Mm-hmm.
What you're going to do.
Yeah.
How you're going to talk and what sort of a reputation you're going to have. I've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. And you, my child of God, have been too. Translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. In whom, and the antecedent of that whom is the Son, in the Son we have redemption through His blood. Wow. You ought to be thankful this morning. Some of the people in this room ought to have been in jail at certain times in your life. If you'd have been caught, you would have been.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. So some people in jail, they just got caught doing what you did, but you didn't get caught.
That's right.
We have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin.
Thank you,
Lord. I get up every day. And I'm thankful my sins are forgiven.
Amen.
Now, every once in a while, my mind will go back, and I will go back to a time when I really embarrassed myself, or a time whenever I really made a fool of myself, or a time I was really vulnerable, and I did something very, very stupid, and I have to say, thank you, Lord. Anybody in here like that? Anybody in here like that? You've been that stupid? Now, I don't tell you all my troubles. I don't tell you all my sins. I don't want to hear yours. But let me tell you what, my friend. God Almighty has saved your soul. He has forgiven your sin. He has redeemed you from the penalty of that sin. He's put you into His kingdom. You're going to inherit in the saints of light. You ought to be thankful.
Amen.
There's another great verse. Look at me at Romans 8. If I keep you a little late today, it's tough sledding. Turn your watch off. Look at verse 31, Romans 8, 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us.
Amen.
In your stupidity, in your sin, in your rebellion, in your stubbornness, Christ is making intercession for you.
Right.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Go back to verse 31. He makes it a hypothetical question, if God be for us. I want to tell you something. After what I read, God is for us.
Amen.
I want to tell you something today, my friend. You may feel down, you may feel alone, you may feel whipped, but I want you to know from what this Bible tells me right here, God is for you.
Amen.
You can count on it. I don't know whether God's for me today. I don't know whether God's for me in this. God is for you. Put that down in your pocket and read it every day. God is for me. God is on my side. God is for me. God is working everything out He can work out for my good. God is concerned not only for my good here, but my good in the future. God is for you. In Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Most of your troubles today, most of your anxieties last night and last week are over nothing. It's just all these things. They don't mean much. Oh, they're important to us on a given day and a little bit, but they don't really mean much. They're just all these things. Your house is full of all these things. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Why don't you get priority one down today?
Amen.
Priority number one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Christian friend, you've been putting too many things first.
Right.
You need to put God and His will first.
Amen.
If you're here today and you're not saved, most of what I've spoken today, I've spoken to people who have received the forgiveness of sins, the salvation of their soul, by faith in Christ Jesus. But I'm talking to you now. The number one thing you need to do is to seek His face. Seek His kingdom. Seek His righteousness. Ask Him to come into your heart and save your soul and change your life. I go back 50 years, and the first day of September 1957 is the greatest day of my life. I repented of my sins. Christ came into my heart. He gave me a new direction and a new purpose, a new drive, and it's never lessened. It's still there.
Amen.
I had friends say, "Oh, you got a bad dose of religion, you'll be over it in a couple of weeks." That's over 50 years, friend. I ain't over it yet. Excuse my English, but I ain't. I ain't over it yet. I don't think I'm ever going to get over it. It started on a day. It started on a day. A day I recognized myself as a lost, hell-bound sinner in need of a Savior. And I called out by simple faith to God in a front bedroom of a trailer house in Roswell, New Mexico. And God saved my soul and changed my life. He'll do it for you today. You can get saved today. You don't have to walk out of here lost. You don't have to walk out of here in darkness. You can walk out as a partaker of the inheritance of the saints of light.
Amen.
Delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. And you can walk out knowing God is for me, not against me.
Amen.
This altar's open. I'm going to sing number 249. Would you stand and sing it with me? My Christian friend, if God has spoken to your heart, you do what God wants you to do, whatever that is. And if you're here without Christ, young or old, man or woman, I appeal to you, come to Christ and be saved. Let's sing it.